spirit of meekness and humility with a broken heart. Now, the title from Luke 22, and we'll be looking at verse 55 down through verse 62 of Luke 22. And the title of the message is Lessons from Peter's Denial, and then we see his repentance. Not only his repentance, but we know of his restoration as well. Three times in these few verses, Peter denies that he even knows or is acquainted with or has any knowledge of this one, Jesus of Nazareth. When they come and ask him, not once, not twice, but three times, do you know this man? After being with him 3 years, he knew Jesus of Nazareth. What did he do? Three times he lied that he didn't know this man. He was ashamed to be identified with this man. He lied to protect his own hide. He saw what was going on, how they spit in his face, the face of the Lord, how they buffeted him with their hand, how they mocked him. And Peter is thinking to himself, don't you know this is going through his mind? If I say that I know this fella, they're going to give me the same treatment. So when they came and they asked him, do you know this man? No. You're mistaken. Three times. Well, in these few verses, the Lord candidly and plainly tells us of a very unhappy, miserable time for the Apostle Peter. But remember this, all of this was arranged not by luck, not by fate, not by chance. All this was planned, decreed by the Lord. Matter of fact, the Lord even told Peter exactly what he would do, and it came to pass. Now, I'm sure it was a day that Peter never forgot. Can you imagine? He never got over this. He never forgot it. It was a day he regretted. It was a day that he shed many tears over. For it says down there in verse 62 that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Bitterly. He was so convicted, so heartbroken. Now the Lord preserves this record for us that we might be encouraged, that we might be instructed by the fall and sin of Peter, that when we fall, when we fail, when we sin, that we can also have the same hope that Peter had in that day. What was Peter's hope? Remember what he writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, where it says, we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. That was his hope. Peter knew he failed the Lord. Peter knew he sinned against the Lord. But also, Peter rejoiced in a repentant heart that looked to the Lord Jesus Christ for all of his salvation. Now, think with me. If this chosen, and he was a chosen apostle, if this blessed man named Peter the apostle, loved of the Lord, could do such a terrible, horrible thing as to lie that he knows the Lord Jesus Christ, to deny that he even knows the man, and to sin against the Lord, if this chosen, blessed apostle would do such a thing, where does that leave me? Where does that leave you? Now, I tell you where it leaves us. It leaves us in his hand. That leaves us in his hand. Now let us never be so full of pride that we would ever entertain ideas saying things like, I would never do such a thing. Peter also said that he would never do that as well. Now if you want to turn with me, you can, but back to Matthew 26 in verse 30. Of Matthew 26, when the Lord had sung a hymn and they went out, Matthew 26:31, where the Lord said, "All of you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." And they did. They all forsook him and fled. "But after that I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, I will never be offended." Peter didn't know his own frail heart. And the Lord said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows," that's what the rooster does in the morning. When the sun comes up, that rooster starts cackling. "Thou shalt deny me three times." And Peter said to him, verse 35, "Though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee." Likewise also said all of the disciples. But when he was arrested, you know what happened? They all forsook him and fled. How weak is our frail flesh. Now, be sure we understand this blessed truth about Peter. And what we say about Peter, we can say about every believer. Every believer is just like Peter, chosen of God. He was a chosen vessel, elect of God unto salvation, as all of God's children are. And we give thanks for that, don't we? Election is not a doctrine that we frown at. Election is the doctrine, whenever you read of it in Scripture, it's the doctrine that's given to thanksgiving. We are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, because the Lord hath chosen you unto salvation. So Peter was a chosen, elect vessel of God, as all the children of God are. Thank God that election is unconditional, not based upon our merit or our righteousness, based upon the good and sovereign pleasure of the Lord. Secondly, Peter had the Lord Jesus Christ revealed unto his heart. The Lord was revealed unto his heart. You remember when Peter confessed that thou art the Christ, and the Lord said, "You're a blessed man, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father hath revealed this unto thee." That's true not only of Peter, but of all of God's saints. They've had a revelation of the glory of God in the face of Christ into their heart, and they see him as all of their salvation, as Peter did. Thirdly, Peter openly and publicly confessed that Jesus was the Christ of God. In John chapter 6, when those many who were fed the loaves and the fishes, those 5,000, most of them turned tail and walked away, when the Lord declared unto them that salvation is of the Lord, that no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and the Lord turned to the 12 and said, "Will you want to go away? Right now is a good, if you want to walk away with the crowd, just follow them." Remember what Peter said? "We believe and we are sure you're that Christ of God." He publicly owned the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what believers do. Believers publicly confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do so publicly by confessing him in believers' baptism. "Thy people shall be willing in a day of God's power." The Lord Jesus Christ, fourthly, the Lord Jesus Christ had fully put away all of Peter's sin, as he has all the sin of God's elect. Now this includes all sin: original sin, actual sin, sin of omission, sin of commission, whatever sin you want to name. The Lord Jesus Christ has put away all the sin of God's elect. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. The Lord had put away all of the sin of Peter, including this one. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Something else about Peter: Peter was justified by the grace of God and could not lose Could he lose his salvation? Some people would have us believe that Peter lost his salvation when he denied the Lord. Well, that would make salvation based upon my faithfulness, not his faithfulness. Peter was justified by the grace of God and could not lose his salvation. That's true of all of God's elect. If you're a believer resting in Christ, it's because you've been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. All that is true of Peter. All that is true of everyone who believes the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, oh, is there a but here? However, let us never forget, Peter was a sinner. Now, he was a saint in Christ, but he was a sinful man, just like you and just like me, subject to this frail and sinful flesh that can do nothing, listen to me, that can do nothing but sin. That's all we can do. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. That's what God said. God said there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. There is none righteous, no, not one. All we can do is sin. The best of men are only men at best, subject to the frailty of the flesh, subject to the frailty and the sinfulness of this wretched thing we call humanity. I don't preach up the dignity of humanity. You just look at our history. Not so good, is it? It's terrible. Terrible. We've murdered one another constantly, constantly. We're at war with one another, fighting with one another, hating one another, all these different things that go on. It's just the product of the flesh, the flesh, the flesh, envy, wrath, jealousy, strife. That's all the flesh can produce. Thank God the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Paul said, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, I've said this over the years, and I know it's so, by just looking at the example of many in Scripture. You know, the Lord, when he writes this book we call the Holy Scripture, given of God, the Bible, he never glosses over or hides the sin of his servants. Noah, Moses, Abraham, Jacob, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah. He exposes all their weaknesses and frailties and sin. Why doesn't he just gloss over that? Because the Lord is showing us what this flesh is. Nothing but sin. There is no wickedness that we are not capable of committing apart from the restraining grace of God. You say, well, I'd never do that. Peter said the same thing. The believer is capable of committing any sin because we have this old nature. We have this old rotten nature that is nothing but sin. We have a new nature that cannot sin, and there is a warfare between the flesh and the spirit, but that which is born of the flesh, that's all it is. That's all it ever will be. In regeneration, the flesh is not improved. It's still wicked. It's still sinful. Therefore, liable to any wicked thing. Now, if you read in the paper next week that I robbed a bank over here in town, that I walked in there with a gun and robbed a bank, you'd be surprised that I'd do such a thing. But you ought to understand, apart from the grace of God, you do the same thing. You do the same thing. Now, by his grace, I hope I don't rob a bank. But I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I scare myself at things I even think. Things that go through my mind. things that run through my mind, I think, my soul, where does that come from? Well, it's just old rotten flesh. But let us also remember about Peter and every other believer also. When we sin against God, we do not lose our salvation. Wouldn't that be a pitiful thing? Wouldn't that be a state of misery to know that every time you sinned, you lost your salvation? Well, I'd lose it every second of the day. But here's our hope. Turn over here to 1 John. John writes about this because John had the same problem that Peter had. John was a sinner just like Peter, just like the rest of the apostles. This is 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, this is 1 John 1, 8. You got it? If we say we have no sin, notice that's singular. If we say we have no sin nature, if we deny what this flesh is, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, if you don't think yourself to be a sinner, the worst one. Now, I'm the worst one in here. I'm the worst sinner in here. But if you don't think that of yourself, you've never believed the gospel. Furthermore, you've never seen God. Because if you've never seen God as absolutely holy, you've never been driven to despair in your own wicked, sinful flesh. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, notice that's plural. If we confess what we do as a result of what we are, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ, verse 7, cleanses us from all our sin. If we say, verse 10, that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the word's not in us. That's powerful, is it not? My little children, chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. No believer desires to sin against the Lord. It's our desire not to because of that new nature we have. But when you sin, if any man sin, when you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation, the mercy seat, the sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world, or the only sacrifice in this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we sin against God, as Peter did not lose his salvation. We know the rest of the story of Peter's life, don't we? How the Lord restored him, gave him a repentant heart, and how he was raised up to preach the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ never disowned Peter, and He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. Let me show you something that be a blessing to you. If you'll turn back over to the gospel given to us by Mark. Look at Mark 16. When the Lord was raised from the dead and the women came to the tomb that morning and He was not there. He's not here. And notice verse 6. Mark 16. Verse 6. He said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. This is the angels. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. But go your way and tell His disciples. And look at verse 7. And Peter. The Lord singles out Peter. The messenger of the Lord said, you go tell the disciples and Peter. Make sure you tell Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see Him as He said unto you. Now, while Peter was never disowned of the Lord, but while Peter did deny that he knew the person of Jesus of Nazareth three times. He did. He lied, didn't he? Peter never denied that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ of God, the Son of the living God. And I think there's a distinction there. They didn't come to him and say to him, "Is this man the Christ of God?" Now, Peter never denied that. He did deny that he knew this man, Jesus of Nazareth. As I said earlier, Peter confessed, "We believe and we are sure thou art the Christ of God." Therefore, we can say with confidence, Peter never denied the faith. He never denied the gospel. And you remember why? Turn back over to Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22, 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan have desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. When you're converted, when you're turned, you strengthen your brethren." You're going to learn from this experience. You see, Peter had one who prayed for him. Peter had one to intercede for him. Peter had a mediator. Peter had a high priest. And that's true of every believer. He prays for us. Wherefore, he's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Thanks be to God that we have this mediator, one God, one mediator between God and men. Who is it? The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his mediation, his intercession, his priestly work is absolutely and always effectual before God. That's our hope. That's our hope. He intercedes for us. Now, lastly, I want us to consider this. In verse 61 and 62, when Peter three times denied that he knew the Lord, and when this rooster started crowing because the sun was coming up, verse 61, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Now, you imagine such a scene. The Lord turned, and there's Peter over there in that crowd. He's among that crowd. And their eyes catch one another. Ooh, what a piercing look. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times." And Peter went out. He left that crowd. And he wept bitterly, bitterly. Here we see Peter's conviction of sin and the means of his recovery. Now, Peter sinned, but he did not lose his salvation. He fell, but he did not perish. His faith was weak, but it was not dead. He denied the Lord, but he did not. He denied the Lord, but he did not deny the faith or the gospel. Peter belonged to the Lord, and the Lord can never lose one of his sheep. Peter fell, but the Lord graciously raised him up again and gave him a repentant heart. You remember what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, verse 5, where he said, "We are kept by the power of God through faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, how did the Lord raise him up to repentance and recovery? By his purpose and by his grace. Now, notice several things here. And this is all the Lord's doing. And we say with David, it's marvelous in our eyes. By the marvelous working of the Lord's sovereign providence, verse 60, when the rooster started crowing, at the precise moment Peter denied the Lord three times, what caused that rooster to crow? The Lord made him crow. That's right. The Lord in his marvelous providence arranges all things in the life of his elect to bring them to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is no accident you just didn't bump into the gospel. God crossed your path with the gospel on purpose. It's no accident that we meet here today seeking God's mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We meet here by His sovereign purpose. Secondly, by the marvelous working of the sovereign grace of God, where it says in verse 61, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. What a look this must have been. It was not a look of anger. It was not a look of resentment, but rather a look of love, pity, compassion, power, and mercy. It was a look that broke Peter's heart. He was convicted deeply, wrought conviction in him. He went out and he wept bitterly. It was a look that melted his heart. Now, here's the third thing, by the marvelous working of the word of the Lord. Look at verse 61 again. Not only his providence, not only the look of mercy and the look of love, the Lord looks upon his people with compassion, long-suffering. He's long-suffering to usward. Thirdly, Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Peter remembered the word of the Lord. The Lord's word convicted Peter of his sin against God. His word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That is why we make so much of the written word, preaching line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, preaching the word of the Lord. God has promised to bless His word. He said His word will not return unto Him void. It is through the preaching of the word that the gospel is used of God to call out His elect. That's why we read it pleased God, through the preaching of the gospel to call out His people. That's why we make much of the word. We preach Christ in the word. And it's through the teaching and the preaching of the word that God not only calls us out, it's through the teaching and the preaching of the word that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you might do what? Grow thereby. We need a steady diet of thus saith the Lord. That's why we make so much of the word. Now, how was Peter raised up from denying the Lord? By the Lord himself being Peter's advocate, where he said, Lord, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. The Lord prayed for Peter before his fall and graciously restored him by his grace after his fall. The same Lord Jesus Christ is our advocate today. He ever lived to intercede for us right now and will hold us by his mighty power. He says, I give my sheep eternal life and they shall never perish. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, what brought Peter to repentance of heart? The word of God and the goodness of God. The Lord didn't look away from Peter. The Lord didn't deny Peter. The Lord looked upon him. The Lord owned him. It was a look of mercy, a look of grace, a look of goodness. We read this, that he thought on these things and he wept, it says in Mark 14, 72. And we read in Romans chapter 2 that it is the goodness of God, not the wrath of God now. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. To repentance. Now, several evidences are given here of Peter's repentance and restoration. What says there in verse 62 of Luke 22? Look at verse 62. And Peter went out. He left that crowd. He was with the wrong crowd. He went out. He left bad company that turned him away from the Lord. And then secondly, it says in Mark 14, as I said just a moment ago, he thought on these things. Or he looked upon the Lord. He looked with an eye of faith, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And the Lord granted him a repentant heart. He's weeping bitterly because God had granted him repentance. And it is a state of being. We have repented. We are repenting. And by His grace, we continue to repent. His heart was broken. He had a godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. He was brokenhearted before the Lord. The Lord is nigh them of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Remember, the Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You ever been brokenhearted over sin? What you are? He came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The Lord is nigh them of a broken heart. Save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, I've got a couple minutes left. Let's turn and look at this scripture here. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, knowing everything that Peter had been through, 1 Peter chapter 5, knowing that everything that Peter had been through, and all that we read of him in the book of Acts. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Well, Peter was humbled in that situation, wasn't he? Where he said, I'll never deny you. And he did. And the Lord looked upon him, and he was convicted and brokenhearted. Therefore, he said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10 now. But the God of all grace. I love that, don't you? The God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to look at one more scripture with me. If you'll find John 13. John 13. When the Lord is instructing His apostles here. John 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto Him, Lord, whither goest Thou? And the Lord answered, whither I go, you cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. Peter said unto Him, Lord, why can't I follow you right now? I'll lay down my life for you. And the Lord said, will you lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till you've denied me three times. Now read on. There's no chapter division there in the original. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, we know the rest of the story about Peter, don't we? We know the rest of the story, how the Lord granted him repentance, how the Lord restored him, how the Lord blessed him. We know the rest of the story of Peter, how he died in faith. How he died in faith. And we read through the book of Acts, how when Peter stood before that same religious crowd, Caiaphas and the high priest, when Peter stood before them and boldly confessed and said, neither is there salvation in any other, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Be it known unto you, O house of Israel, that there is salvation in no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God had raised him up from the dead. We know the rest of Peter's story, how he was faithful unto death and was a greatly used of God to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.